What's up, Gators? Welcome back to The Bite Back, the official bite-sized podcast of the student uprising at San Francisco State. My name is Cole, and today we're wrapping up our conversation with Clarissa and Elijah from the Student Dance Union. But before that, I want to quickly touch base on something that I said in our last episode talking about the General Assembly and specifically demand number two. I said that AI was technically applicable in a lot of STEM fields. And reflecting on that choice of words now, this could just be my own inner critic, I don't know. But it felt a little reductive, especially saying that as a creative arts major. And so to that, I want to make it clear that AI is absolutely very much applicable in the sciences. And a great example of that is a recent study out of Boston in which AI was used to successfully detect breast cancer formations in women 5 years before a mammogram. Technology was recently approved by the FDA. So just imagine if our resources were prioritized towards equitable application of AI rather than equal across all departments. Because the technology very clearly has a lot of potential, especially in medicine, to move us forward and save a lot of lives. And so to any STEM Gators listening, we see you and the work that you guys are doing, and we would never want to undermine or discredit that. And so I apologize, lesson learned. And with that, here's the rest of our conversation with the Student Dance Union. Go ahead, have a listen.
So you initially seeked out, I guess, club designation through AS?
Yes. So we are a registered student organization. I know that's a little bit, I guess, controversial for a student union, but at the end of the day, it is really important to us that we have that ability to put on a stage show.
Yes. Absolutely. Tell me a little bit about the walkout, which I know was extremely successful. It went from creative arts to Marcus Hall, I believe, and a petition of demands was delivered to the dean of the LCA, the Liberal and Creative Arts College. Kind of walk me through the process of planning something like that and how it all came to fruition. Was it kind of a spur of the moment thing, or was it, you know, more drawn out in terms of planning?
When it comes down to it, it was pulled together within a week.
Mm-hmm. It kind of started when we first got the email from our professor, Sierra Ward, Professor Ward. We got an email over the summer that they were unfortunately leaving the school. We were like, what in the world is going on? Like, what is happening? From that, the conversation got started. But like Clarissa said, in the span of a week, it got planned.
Yeah, because initially we were planning to take action, I believe, the third week of September, I want to say. That kind of gave us some time to plan it out a little bit more. But then I got word that the spring class schedule was due to the dean's office the second Tuesday of the semester. So there was kind of a suggestion of, okay, if you guys are taking action, you might want to do it a little bit sooner. So I was like, okay, bet. And I initially scheduled a meeting during the dean's office hours to discuss curriculum changes, quote unquote, which we did. And so initially we were thinking that we would just have a few members of the board, but then I was like, okay, guys, 1 p.m. Thursday, who's in? Everyone was like, I've got class. I'm like, oh, amazing. So I knew a couple of my board members, Eli included. Their class that they were in was one of our only dance classes, taught by our single faculty member. So I was like, okay, I can work with this. So I went to her and I asked her, hey, do you mind excusing these couple board members for a meeting with the dean next Thursday? And then she was like, oh yeah, for sure. And then we kind of got to talking a little bit more. So I did kind of overthrow her class a little bit, and that's how we got the turnout that we did. There were a lot of some people who came that weren't in that class and just came from our social media announcements, but a bulk of the protest was from the dance program.
Yeah, I know alumni were also hugely involved in this walkout as well, which I thought was super cool and something I haven't really seen before in organizing. Kind of tell me how that came about and what having their support has meant for you guys and the work that you do.
Yeah, so one of the biggest people who was a part of the protest as an alumni was our lovely Mayu. She was one of our speakers at the protest. She, I believe, was our fourth or fifth speaker that we had. And up until then, it really felt like AFOMA, the dean, wasn't taking us seriously. But then Mayu came up, shook her hand, and was like, I believe I've met you before. You may know my name. Here are my national titles for moot court that I have. And here is why you are doing so bad at your job. And so after that, it felt like she was taking us a little bit more seriously. More Mayu than anything else. There was a moment, I don't remember exactly what AFOMA said, but she said something along the lines to Mayu after she was done speaking of like, you're so kind and respectful and a valued person in our society. The people who spoke before you were not. So that kind of pissed me off. But at the end of the day, now we are making progress slowly.
We have more technique classes.
Yes. Do we have the instructors? No.
TBD.
TBD.
TBD. And I imagine that getting those technique classes came out of the bargaining sessions that you've been having with the LCA dean. Kind of tell me a little bit about how those talks have gone so far, and do you feel like you're generally getting your message across, or is there still some kind of like pushback or hostility?
So following the protest, I had a meeting with the dean. The first meeting that I had with her was a whole lot of nothing. What she brought to the table was a thing called special enrollment, which is just going and taking your course requirements at another university. She specifically suggested City College, which is like insane for so many reasons. First of all, a lot of our dance students are already upper division standing or transfer students. So we don't need the lower division requirements that City College offers. And also, if I wanted to go to City College, I would have gone there and I would have done it for free. But I am paying tuition at a state university. I should be able to take state university classes, or like I could go to UC Berkeley or USF through special enrollment, but I go to SFSU. I live in the area. That would be taking my time, my gas. I would have to probably alter my work schedule, alter my whole life to go far out for classes. And then the next thing that she brought up was how the school wants innovation. They don't want to see what we've been doing for the past 10 years because clearly that doesn't work, not even taking into account the fact that our initial drop in enrollment was because of the pandemic, and you can't really dance effectively on Zoom. That's just, I have taken Zoom dance classes because of the pandemic. No,
it doesn't work.
It does not work like that. You need to be in a physical studio with an instructor. Like, that's just no. But that doesn't matter to her. She said that doesn't matter. Our department needs a new plan moving forward of how they're going to innovate, which we had a plan. We had a new professor, Sarah Ward, come in with curriculum that was innovative and reflected our student body, because we do have a 90.5% BIPOC student body, which also, that's crazy that the school is trying to cut a program with that demographic. But anyways,
also female dominated.
Yeah, also female dominated. And I brought up a couple things that SDU has talked about, like ways we can do outreach, fundraising, this and that. And her response was pretty much, oh, that's this person's job. That's this person's job. That's not possible, blah, blah, blah. And she also wants us to work with what we have, which we have nothing to work with. Like, So at the second meeting with her, we were able to find a little bit more of a middle ground. We dove a little bit more into what advancement looks like in our program. I pretty much expressed to her, because I am aware of how much money the school is investing in AI, and we understand how that's applicable to some programs, how, like STEM fields, business, like Sure. Understood. But for the arts, that's just not a thing. Our employers, when we go into the industry, they don't want to see us working with AI. They want to see us being artists. They want to see what we can do as individuals and what we can do within our community. And so I just expressed to her, like, innovation for dancers is giving us the space and the ability to create. And that's exactly what they've taken away from our program. They've taken away our stage shows. They've taken away our technique classes. Everything that makes dance dance, they've taken away from us. And so I expressed this to her. So to backtrack a tiny bit, we had two classes that were canceled this fall semester. And so I asked her about these classes being canceled because we had a meeting with the provost, which I will get into next, where she said she was unaware that these classes had been canceled. And she told us that classes should not have been canceled after students were already enrolled. So I kind of brought it up just like, hey, so what about these classes? And she blamed her associate dean. She said that was their doing, which it was, I guess, they're doing, telling our department to cancel those classes, but because she told them to. Like, at the end of the day, it was her who was telling her associate dean to tell our faculty to cancel the classes. And then a couple of our board members, we did have a meeting with the provost. She also brought up special enrollment, and we told her, we just kind of explained, like, just why that's not realistic for dance. And I also mentioned, because I had done some research on it, and I found out you can only take one course per semester through special enrollment. So it's like, how is that like a viable solution?
Especially when they're not offering core requirements for the major.
Exactly, yeah. So I brought that up to her, and she's like, well, we should make exceptions wherever we can. I'm like, okay, I can think of at least like 10 other solutions, exceptions that we could make that would be a much better solution than going to another university. But anyways, that's when we asked her about the classes being canceled, and she was unaware of the classes being canceled. She did not know that was a thing, and that's when she told us, like I said, classes shouldn't be canceled after students have already enrolled. And so she said, oh, looks like I need to do some research on what's going on within the college.
And that's coming from the provost?
Yes.
God.
Did she do research? I don't know. So I just pretty much told her, like, why are we just cutting? Why aren't we investing in our students? Why aren't we trying to make this school better? We're about to not be a school because they're just taking everything away. And so I told her that, and we just, as the SDU board, we urged her to do what she could to influence the approval of our spring classes that were proposed, because our department chair, the classes that she proposed, it would amount to about $40,000 in lecturer salary. That is nothing. That is not even half of what our former faculty member was making. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I know we're way past that, but I can't, like, the concept of a Zoom dance class is so, like, baffling to me.
I have, like, vague memories of having to do, like, my tap dance for my, like, junior year of high school recital, like, having to practice that over Zoom, except you couldn't actually see me, like, dancing. Like, you could only see my upper body. So, like, the only actual, like, part of the dance that you could actually, like, tell I was doing was, like, the jazz hands off at the end. Like,
a tap dance into your upper body.
Yeah.
That's insane. And alongside the walkouts and the bargaining sessions, you've also done a couple ice cream socials and a couple dance workshops. Kind of tell me how those have gone a little bit and how they fit into the broader scope of organizing alongside the more serious stuff.
Part of the reason why those are so integral is to show the people want to dance. They want to dance. And we've had phenomenal turnout at almost every single one of our workshops camps. We had a whole bunch of people come to the ice cream social and hear about what we're doing, what we're standing for. I'm always announcing them and people are always excited about them. And I constantly get messages on social media of like, hey, is this open to everyone? And I'm always like, yeah. Like we recently had a heels class where I was getting questions from people outside of the dance department even, who were like, oh, do I need to have heels in order to take the class? And I was like, no, you can just show up and dance.
Yeah, so like Eli was saying, it really has helped build back up the community. It's helped sustain it a little bit. It's helped us get a little bit more dancing in our schedules because, you know, like dance students, we should be dancing 5 days a week. So it's not a supplement. It's not a replacement for actual training, but it does kind of help us stay moving and just help build the community in that sense for sure.
Oh, and we also have a performance opportunity that a whole bunch of people are super interested in. It's not a substitute.
No.
But it's an opportunity for choreographers and dancers alike. We have No Tech Fest coming up on December 5th, 5 p.m.
No.
Nope, just kidding.
Doors
open at 5 p.m.
And the show is at 5:30. Yeah, it's just showcasing student work from the semester. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we used to have New Moves, which was a stage show for student work. This is definitely a lot more low-key, but it still gives our students the chance to just, like, have the experience of a performance this semester and just show what they've been working on and just, like, build their value as artists.
Amazing, amazing. We'll definitely stay tuned for that. And just to kind of close us off, I mean, the bargaining sessions are still obviously ongoing. You're doing all these workshops. What are some kind of next steps for Student Dance Union at this point?
I feel like we're kind of moving towards another protest, hopefully. Like I mentioned, there is $95,000 missing from the university's budget, and they are refusing to hire lecturers for us. But they don't see it that way. They want to take instructors from other departments and put them in our classes, which is insane for so many reasons.
Because it's going to be taking away from the other colleges if we take your professor to teach something that they may not eat, like they probably don't have an expertise in.
Yeah, I know Mbeka, our graduate advisor, she's teaching a guar design class. And when I heard that, I was like, are you serious? And I have like faculty in journalism too that are teaching like English composition classes. And it's just like, come on.
No, the same thing's already happening in the theater arts department. I know the art of comedy class, which was originally taught by our lecturer, Sarah Felder, who was unfortunately let go, is being taught by a professor from the French department, which, you know, the French are funny, I guess, but it's the French department. It's not the theater arts department.
Exactly.
Awesome.
So, yay.
Yeah, and it's also just these professors. I'm not sure if this is how it would be run, but I know there are substitutions being made in our degrees to substitute core classes that they're not offering anymore. Like, I'm taking a sports medicine class instead of a class called Issues in Dance Medicine. The sports medicine class is interesting. It's cool. I'm learning stuff in it. None of it pertains to my degree at all. And then again, Clarissa and I are enrolled in a Hatha yoga class. Very cool class.
As a substitute for Pilates.
Like a very cool and fun class. We are battling against technique every single day because in yoga, the technique is different from what we've learned in dance.
Very different.
We just like, our dancers don't feel prepared to enter the workforce because we just don't, they're not allowing us classes that are going to get us anywhere in the dance field. So it's very disappointing. But yeah, on that note, we are fighting for more classes. Luckily, we did, like we said, we got our 6 technique/performance-based classes for the spring. So yay. And now we're fighting for the lecturers to teach them because we just need people who specialize in dance. Also, it's a safety concern. Like, we are doing some very hard movements, stuff that is potentially dangerous. Mm-hmm. And if we do not have an an instructor that is a professional dancer, someone who is experienced in the dance field, if they are teaching us stuff that is wrong or just not taking the correct safeguards, like, that is a lot of room for injury.
Kind of want to wrap it up on somewhat of a lighter note. Yeah. are you confident in your ability to gather collective power and turn your department around?
I think so. It's kind of hard because, you know, as we just learn more messed up stuff about our school, it does kind of, it's very disheartening, but, you know, we've done it before and we'll do it again. Dr. Wong, our faculty member for dance, said every few years a dance department is tested and has to prove its worth. It has to prove itself. And, like, our time has come. It's happened to our department before about 10 years ago, and it's happening again. And even this semester, if anything, we can say we pulled off a very successful protest. That is already a huge win. And I think that there is a lot of room for growth, especially now that, like, school-wide, there's a lot more unionization and just organization among students. I think that the students at this university are building a lot of collective power. I think that our voices are being heard. We just really need to not back down.
And the Student Dance Union, all of the board members are seniors this year. And we've all acknowledged that we're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing this for future generations of dancers.
Clarissa, Elijah, it's been wonderful. Thank you so much for lending your time to us today. I also just want to say that from all of us at the student union, like, we acknowledged all the hard work you're doing, and we're so happy to see you thriving and, you know, getting your demands met. And we hope to see you grow and keep the fight going. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, and thank you for the support. It really does help keep us going.
Always,
so thank
always.
And that does it for part two of our talk with the student union. Wherever and whenever you're listening, thank you so much, as always, for stopping by. This episode was co-produced by myself and Natasha Lin with engineering help from Cloud Wong. It was edited and mixed by Natasha Lin and recorded at KSFS. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at our new username, BiteBackPod. You'll find updates, exclusive behind-the-scenes looks, and sneak previews. If you're interested in organizing your department or you want to find out more about what we're doing to resist the cuts to our education, come hang out with us in room 213 of the Humanities Building every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. You can also find Student Union on Instagram and Substack at SFSU Student Union. Once again, my name is Cole. Until next time, take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.